Okay, so we left off yesterday talking about mixed liability, or talking about where the Nizak plays a role. And we saw a couple of polls back and forth. We saw that where we started from, if the Nizak plays a role, such as placing Kalim under a sleeping guy, his own Kalim under a sleeping guy, the sleeper, who otherwise would be Chayiv, could be Pater because of that. We saw the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin that if a Mazik puts a Gacheles on a person and damages his clothing, the Mazik is Chayiv because the Nizak is under no responsibility to stop that Nizak, that Hezek, from happening. And yet, now flipping in the other direction, so we saw the Gemara here on Daf Mem Zayin that if somebody places poison in front of an animal of somebody else, and that animal dies, so the placer is Pater. And we're trying to figure out why. So to work backwards for a second, you saw the Rush, right, where the Rush understands. What number is the Rush?
Hey,
Gimel. So, you know, where the Rush understands that it has to do with the Mazik relying on the Nizak to take care of the situation himself. And that would seem to require that the Nizak knows about it, the Nizak can perceive the situation. So, as we saw, that's the machlokas. How much does that make a difference? Are we only talking about a situation where we're only talking about a situation where the Nizak can be expected to perceive what's going on, or even otherwise? So, the question is, how does Tosfos on this daf, how does he shtem with the Rush? Or is he saying something different than the Rush? So many of the later Svarim who read this assume that Tosfos is saying something different. And it's going to have this nafkamina. Because this question of whether the victim has to know what's going on is a pretty significant one. So what does Tosfos on Mem Zayin say? So Tosfos on Mem Zayin is made up of a few parts. And the important parts for us of Havala Shlo Tochel, and Jed's been raising the question of, does this refer to the earlier part of the Gemara, the later part of the Gemara, that Dibra Maschil, although I'm not sure if it makes a difference. Because it seems like the answer is going to come out the same way either way. Right, do you see it affecting things?
Aren't both of the Havaleh, aren't both of them going on a different case? Like, I didn't think either of them were going on the poison.
Because the question is, when there's a Ptur, so why is there a Ptur? So since we know that we have a Ptur there, so I don't know if it's going to be fundamentally different whether this Tosfos is going on the earlier part or this part.
So it'll equally apply to...
Yeah, he's explaining what the Ptur is about. So the Ptur seems to apply in both cases. Sam, you have a question?
Yeah, just going back to the case for a second where we put the gachalas on the guy, does he have to be able to foresee that? Like, we're saying it's a Ptur, right? So does he have to be able to foresee the fact that there's a gachalas on his child, like on his clothing, or the fact that it could cause...
Not foresee, because foresee, as you saw, is a different situation, that if it hasn't happened yet, so then it could be that if the Nizak can stop it, then he doesn't stop it, so that's as if he's giving permission. And that could change things. So I don't know if you want to use specifically the word foresee or just the word see, that when it's happening, he sees it. So as it's happening, is he obligated to stop it? So that's
what if there's a case where it's like, you know, the Gachas or anything else was on here, you literally didn't think that that was just going to happen. You're like, oh, it's no big deal, and that's when you know your shirt's posted or whatever.
So then presumably that would undo the Svara, I would imagine. And if the whole Svara is based, although... But at the end of the day, even if one does the svar, it still leaves you where you started from, because the mazik's chayiv either way. Right? So the question is, should he have been putter because the nizik could have done something about it? So if we say that it doesn't matter because he's not obligated to do anything about it, then all the more so if he couldn't even imagine how bad it is, presumably. Okay, so this Tosis is made up of two parts. And it's the first two lines and the last two lines that are important for us. They consider various possibilities as to what the Patur is based on. So the opening lines in Tosis that reject something that's significant, and says, Ein lefaresh, this Tosis Havala on Memzayin Mibes, Ein lefaresh de lekach pater, de chashiv keruach she'ena mitzuya. So you shouldn't think that the Patur is that this is considered to be an uncommon, unpredictable event. Like, for example, where Tosis is getting this from, is let's say somebody lights a fire in his house under normal circumstances, Hanukkah, or cooking, or whatever, and there's an unusual kind of wind, something strange happens, some strange weather condition comes, and takes the fire from inside his house to some other place where it's mazik. So then he's potter for that. So is that what we're talking about? That this is like an unpredictable situation? So no, that's not true. And the middle section of Tosis is proving why this is not unpredictable, why this is not an uncommon thing. So it's all there to reject that first statement, or to supply the basis for the rejection of that first possibility, that this is somehow Einu Mitzuya. Jed?
The situation that we're talking about is the eating of the animal. That's just, is that common for an animal to just eat something in the chatzer or not? Is that the situation we're talking about?
That's, yeah, I mean, however you want to narrow it down. But this case that you put this there and the animal chose to eat it, so why should you be potter? Should you be potter because you couldn't have foreseen that happening? Because it's an uncommon kind of result? So no, it's not uncommon. And Tosis brings proofs that it's not uncommon, it's not unpredictable. So that is not the issue. So what is the issue? So then you go to the last two lines of Tosis. Ela hainu taima kevan shebe miskavein mevi olav davar shemaziko einai roi zeh l'hischayiv b'kach. So since you have somebody who is intentionally doing this, who is choosing to eat this, it doesn't make sense to say that the person who put it there is responsible for that. Now, there are all kinds of ways to approach this Tosfos. I mean, you could approach this as saying that, like some of you did, that this is really in sync with the Rush. That here you have a sentient being who chose to do this, so you can't say it's the first guy's fault. So that sounds like it could conform with the Rush's view that you are off the hook because you relied on the other guy not doing it. But the assumption is that Tosis is saying something different than that. So what is he saying? So it's most likely that he's saying grama. Now, if he's saying grama, you could ask, so why doesn't he just say grama? Like has been pointed out, Tosfos in Bava Basra and Daf Chav Beis, which I gave you to look at, which is a valuable Tosfos on this whole topic of grama and garmi. And God willing, we will eventually talk about Grumman and Garmi head on. But Tosfos essentially, if you get a chance to see, so Tosfos talks about when do you say Garmi, trying to define Garmi. Ultimately doesn't really conclude that Garmi is based on a specific element as much as seeing it as a knas, as a penalty. So therefore, it's addressed to situations that are likely to be abused. We don't want there to be a certain kind of common likely situation where somebody can cause damage indirectly and get off the hook. So therefore, Chazal made Garmi as a knas. That's the way Tosfos concludes. Other Rishonim understand it differently. as we'll see, there are many different views about Garmit. But the whole thrust of the discussion is that this Gemara, Mem Zayin, is a Grama. That's what Tostos is working off of, and Tostos lists a number of other cases in Shas that are also Gramas, and then goes on to have their discussion of why is it not still Garmi. Jed.
So two things. One, he says explicitly Baba Basra that the case of the poison is a Grama.
Yeah, he lists a bunch of cases throughout Shas. Right, some of you have seen the Tostos, right? So he lists a bunch of cases throughout Shas, and he says in all these cases, so there's a Patur because it's a Grama.
And the other thing.
Yeah, that about Basra?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to pick out the line. So here, we're able to scavenge and make do with whatever story I'm in the room. It's the last hostess on Chavez and Abez and Basra. Zosa Meris, Grama Ben Azikin, Asr. So this is also a point that we've emphasized, always important to emphasize, because it's relevant to a lot of aspects. That Tosa starts off, you could have thought that Grama is both Pater and Mutter. So that would be a mistake. Grama is Pater, but it's Aser. One is not permitted to cause the damage of someone else's property. So that's the opening point of the discussion. But in the context, the Tosa says that Hachasa, you would have thought that that's the case. So talking about the fact of Grama Mazikin being Pater, he lists off a bunch of cases, V'chein, some of which we've seen already. Right, V'chein parakates at a regal, Chavav Mibay, Zar Klima Rosh Agag, Vayu Tachtav Karmak Sosos, V'kidim V'silkan, Afilu Hu Pater, U'para Kapara, Hichnis Peros L'chatsev O'balabay, Shlo V'rshos, V'kamar Gunara, Dim Achla V'huzka Pater, V'nothin Samamavus, Afnei Behemis Chaveru the Pater, Sham. Right, listing already three Gemaras that we've seen, and then a bunch more. All of this is part of the conversation that this is Grama. And then Tosus continues halfway through, which we'll talk about a different time. Right, so why are these not all covered by Garmi situations? So that's a different discussion we will get to in its own context. But what we see from Tosus here is a more clear statement that this is a Grama situation.
Why is there no reference
between and why does the word Grama not appear in this Tosus?
Or why is this
why is
there no connection even mentioned between
the Tosas? You mean like by the Masorah Sashas people, by the Amishbuk people?
No, I mean, I'm...
Yeah, that doesn't have to bother us so much.
Right, but it's more the... I mean, if Tosas is saying it straight out over here, why not say...
So that's a good question. So let's talk about that for a second. So you know, not necessarily why doesn't it reference Tosas, but why doesn't it mention the word Grama here? So let's talk about that for a second. So maybe we could tie this into something else that we've seen already. So if the Patur is Grama, and as we mentioned yesterday, it also works well with the Gemara's language, because this is a scenario which surprises us. How could you be Patur here? Seems like a pretty evil thing to do. So indeed, the Gemara tells us, Yechayiv b'dinei shamayim, Patur b'dinei adam. And that essentially seems to be the description of scenarios where you are doing something very bad, but there's a technicality that gets you off. So the technicality of it not being direct is the source of the Patur, but you're Chayiv Dei Shamayim because you're doing something pretty nasty. And why is that not called Garmi? Again, that's Tosafot's question, but Basra, that's a topic we'll eventually get to. Hi.
We suggested in Seder that maybe that's also the Rambam and Dalai Bez and Nisgei Momon.
Mm-hmm.
This is the connection between Sama Bavis and Kulta Ruwa.
Yeah.
It's not so clear in the Rambam what the connection is.
The Rambam also?
I think we ran out of luck.
Ran out of luck. Okay, so we have to go to the virtual world.
Get it.
Nisgei
Momon,
right?
Nisgei
Momon,
Dalai
Bez. Okay, so keep going.
He doesn't mention over there what the connection is between the cases, but does draw a connection between them. That seemingly the common denominator that's important is that they're both Pater and Adolescent. So we thought in Seder that maybe the connection is that they're really both Grama and Ezekiel.
Yeah, that is how Achronim understand the Rambam, by the way. Achronim understand the Rambam to be not like the Rush and more like Tosus. the language of this Rambam, by the way, is what Mori is saying, is how he just brings together cases that all seem to be like this. So if somebody takes away a strong fence from an animal and the animal goes and does damage, but if the wall was weak, so Lamaisa, it wasn't, he didn't change it that much, so then it's not considered to be a Maisa Hezek, but he's still Chai B'dei Shemayim. V'chein ha'nos in some amavus, nebehem es chaver apatim b'dene adam v'chai b'dene shemayim. Okay, so that discussion seems to be consistent with Tosfos, but our question here is, so why doesn't this Tosfos just say Grama? Right? Because the, especially you would think, what's the main point to focus on? You have two players here. You have Poisoner. We'll call him Percy the Poisoner. And you have Animal Owner, also known as Annie. So you have Percy and Annie. So you would think if the issue is Grama, whose behavior should we be looking at in this picture? Percy or Annie?
Percy,
right? Because we're interested in what he is or isn't doing.
The Rush isn't interested in that.
Right, the Rush is saying something else. Right, so...
Rush is looking
Andy. Sorry?
Rush is looking Andy. Andy, right? Andy or Annie?
We called her Annie, but if you want to, you know, if you don't want any, I mean, as part
Andy.
Of the discussion, it
Andy.
Can be Andy. Okay. So, so Andy, right, so the Rush is focused on Andy. That makes sense. Right, because if you want to say like the Rush that he relied on him, then okay. But then you should also change your psak when you're talking about situations that Andy couldn't have known about. And that's where we see there is somewhat of a machlokas. But when it comes to this situation, when it comes to Tosfos rather than the Rush, so if Tosfos is saying it's a Grama and Grama is Pater, so who should Tosfos be focusing on?
Percy.
Percy, right? Is that what you said?
No.
Okay, so what did you want to say?
Repeat the question.
Well, if we're talking, if the nature of the Patur is Grama, right? So we're saying that Percy didn't really do a full Maisa Hezek, or didn't do a Maisa Hezek at all. So that's why Percy is Patur. If that is the position of Tosfos, so who would you expect Tosfos to focus on? Percy. Right? So why is Tosfos bringing Andy into the conversation here? Kevan shemiskavein maybe olav davar shemiziko eno roi lezel eschayv b'kach. Yes, Jed.
He's not talking about the animal when he says that it's mitzvahin. He's not talking about the animal should have known better. It's a... owner of the animal should be
yeah, there? Let's assume that.
Okay.
So, why is that, why is he the focus here? So, it is a somewhat unusual phrasing, which does make you think that maybe there's something more to it here. But maybe contribute a little bit if it works so perfectly, but we can tie this into something else that we saw. We go back to Daf Dalet. So if you remember, Tosfos on Daf Dalet was understood to say that the reason the guy who's sleeping is Pater for damaging Kalim that were only brought there after he was asleep is because it was an onus gomer. An onus that is more like Geneva rather than Aveda. As opposed to the Ramban, where the Ramban said it's because the Nizak was the one who endangered his own stuff. So we had a little bit of a problem, if you recall, that Tosfos does seem to throw in a phrase here which brings him closer to the Ramban. All right, the Tosfos said that Dehaim Garmulo. Sounds like he's saying that the Nizak played a role and that's why he's Pater, not because it's an onus garment. So we discussed at the time last week that there is seemingly a stira or a tension at least between Tosfos here and Tosfos in the second parak. So I was discussing this with him by Konigsberg. He wanted to suggest that maybe you could say Tosus is still saying that the distinction is between Ones Kain Aveda and Ones Kain Gneva. Right, so what's the difference between those two terms? So the way we defined it was that both are things that you didn't want to happen, but Ones Kain Aveda, it's really you could have been more careful, and therefore as much as you didn't want it to happen, but we still have room to hold you liable. While Ones Kain Gneva is more like something which was completely imposed upon you regardless of how careful you are, and therefore that kind of onus there should indeed be a p'tur.
Can I repeat that?
Yeah, so if we assume that this Tosfos and Daf Dalet is consistent with a chiluk between Ones Kain Gneva and Ones Kain Aveda, you're liable if it's Ones Kain Aveda, and you are pater if it's Ones Kain Gneva. So how do you define that distinction? So the way we defined it at the time was that they're both onsen, they're both things that happened to you, not things that you chose to do or even did b'shogeg, but rather things that happened to you. But the difference is, Ones Kain Aveda, you could have been a little more responsible, and therefore there is still some guilt to attach to you, even though this is not the result that you wanted. And Ones Kain Gneva is something that is completely imposed upon you without really much of a possibility for you to have been more responsible. But what Rabbi Konigsberg was suggesting is that maybe the involvement of this Garmu guy, this Him Garmulo, that he affected things, maybe what Tosfos is saying is that the distinction between Kain Aveda and Kain Gneva is that Kain Aveda, you did that on your own. Nobody else contributed to the process. So you still bear a liability for that. But Ones Kain Gneva, somebody came and stole it. So it's stavka, the involvement of the other party, that makes you even less of an actor here. And that's why there's a distinction. So maybe that's what Tosfos over here is getting at. That when he says, Kevich and Miskavein, maybe you love Davrish and Aziko. So the fact that somebody else is playing such a crucial active role, it doesn't make sense to make the first guy chay. At least coming very technically. Yes. That maybe, even though we should be looking at Percy, right, we should be looking at him and say he's not doing enough, rather than looking at Andy and saying what Andy's doing. But maybe that's Davka the point, that Andy's involvement makes Percy's action into something irrelevant. And defines it as a grub. Could be.
Andy, meaning Nizak, is doing something that makes it a grama?
Yeah, the fact that Andy is there and playing such a crucial role, that's what reduces Percy's role into a grama.
Which means that really Percy is doing action A, and action A then might become just a grama in Benazikin based off the actions of Andy.
Right, so how could you get to that conclusion? Because you'd have to imagine a scenario where the trip from what Percy does to the Hezek doesn't require any action to miskaven of the other guy. So maybe that's when things become one action. Right, in general, and this is maybe something, it's actually, this has relevance to Hanukkah also, so maybe we'll be able to fit this in next week as well. You have to be able to figure out your terms when you talk about what's causational and what's direct. If you talk in a reductionist enough way, you can make everything indirect. Right? If somebody shoots somebody else and kills him, say, that's not murder, that's grama. All he did was pull a trigger. The trigger made the little explosion go off in the gun, and that made the bullet fly out of the gun, and then that made the bullet travel across the room, and then the bullet hitting him led to him dying, but the guy didn't do anything. That's a very... Right, so I'm saying it's more than that. I'm saying that's a very extreme version of the NRA slogan, right? They would jump onto that in a minute. Oh, guns don't kill people. In fact, guns are three steps away from killing people, right? Because if you break everything down into smaller parts, you can make everything indirect. So you have to figure out at what point does something become all one maisa. This comes up in Hilchos Shabbos, for example. It's one possible explanation of why you say that a psik resha is chayiv, right? Because, and assuming at least it's nichale, because we have to sometimes look carefully and see A leads to B. Maybe if A always leads to B, it means that A and B can't really be separated. And maybe any attempt to separate A and B is really artificial. So the likelihood that A leads to B, or the percentage of times that A leads to B, becomes relevant to whether A and B are really one thing or not. So if the scenario was such that every time a person put poison in front of an animal, that animal would definitely eat it and die, regardless of what anyone else does, then maybe that wouldn't be called a grama. The fact that you need somebody else, or somebody else's decisions can affect it, that's what turns it into grama. You follow? So maybe that's what this Tosus is getting at. Again, it could have been said much more simply, so it's still a question, but maybe that's what Tosus is saying, essentially, that therefore it's this guy's actions that turned the first guy, that turned Percy, into grama guy, rather than mazik guy. So then the distinctions become relevant. So we started to say yesterday, for example, the Chazon Ish raised the question, why are you ever chayav for bor? Why don't you say that somebody dug a bor and no one asked the victim to fall into it? He chose to fall into the bor. So says the Chazon Ish, no, that's not accurate. It's not comparable to the animal choosing to eat the poison food. There, the animal was trying to eat, and that's what he did. But somebody who falls into a bor is just trying to cross the street. Crossing the street is not the same thing as falling into the bor. But again, that's going to require you to decide, where do you cut things off? Where do you draw the line and say that there's a difference between walking and falling into the bor? Eating is all one thing, and walking and falling into the bor are two separate things. So that same kind of judgment call is going to come into the conversation as well. Hi.
I feel like just from what we saw really with the Chiddush Erev specifically,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like in understanding, trying to define the rambamness and like the details of the case, we're looking at it from both sides contributing to the Maisa. Meaning that I feel like it's just kind of all like in the same lens of looking at the case. I mean, we're seeing the Nizak is really completing the Mazik's action. They're kind of, both parties are turning it into a grama or whatever the case is. Meaning, I feel like it's connected a little bit to saying that, like, my chiyuv in a case of like hezek b'shogeg, the chiddush erev was talking about that.
Right.
My chiyuv is to prevent his chiyuv.
Right. So is that what's going on here, though?
I just feel like conceptually it might be.
Sounds a little more like the rush, really. That it's your job is to. Andy's job is to guard the animal.
I mean, more in the sense of looking at it from both perspectives and coming into one result. I don't know, there's something like very, like the Nizak completing the action of the Mazik. That I can do an
Except,
action and leave it open, and then
right.
it can just be, it, basically the Nizak is going to interpret it into, or is going to affect with an A. What is going to.
But I'm not sure if it's true in either one of those cases, though, because here, it's not that he's finishing the action of the mazik, but the assumption is that the mazik didn't do an action. He just put the poison there, which by itself is neutral.
But then the mazik does do an action when the nizak is damaged by it. No? Because then we call it,
no.
We do then call it a grama minizikin.
Right.
So I mean, the mazik didn't do an action.
The grubma is a lack. The grubma is a lack of maisa.
It's a lack of. It's a lack of maisa. It's not a full maisa.
It's a lack of maisa for now.
Okay.
So that's a. I'm not sure whether it fits that model exactly. So the subtleties of the Chazon Ish's position is a discussion. Because, for example, so we talked about yesterday about Rav Shlomo Zalman's tshuva about if somebody sells salt and labels it sugar, and the people who buy it end up putting salt in their food where sugar should be and destroying that much food. So what if, for example, let's say you sell someone a donut and there's a rock in it and the person eats the donut and breaks his tooth. So do you say, well, he intended to eat, so he did it to himself? Or do we say, no, he intended to eat the donut. He didn't intend to eat the rock. And therefore, there is no such svar. So that's as well an open discussion. A sefer Mishpat HaMazik, he has a whole paragraph about that. He has a pretty morbid discussion also. Let's say if somebody cuts someone's brake lines. This is a pretty dramatic movie plot. So do you say that, okay, the guy who drove afterwards, he did it himself by choosing to drive? You say that the one who cut the lines is not a direct mazik? That guy is chayv de shamayim like crazy, there's no question, at least. But is he patur b'de adam?
That's grama?
Yeah, because of grama, and grama as described here, where he did an action which by itself would not have caused harm, but because the driver chose to drive, he's the one comparable to the animal eating.
Is there any room to say it's more like boar in that case?
Okay, so why boar like boar in which way?
Or like you're kind of leaving an object, maybe not for just a rabbit, but you're leaving an object that's open, that's susceptible to damage. I feel like that would be similar to like placing a knife that's like it's sticking out on the kitchen counter and then waiting for or wherever and waiting for someone to run into it. I'm not damaging by placing a knife.
You're saying literally dover on the galgal.
So I'm not killing someone by cutting their brake lines, but I'm leaving it there for someone to be killed by.
So it's an interesting question because it's the car that does the killing. So to figure out what category it's in.
If I were to sharpen something that is already there, does that become boar or is it something else? Let's say I were to sharpen a desk in a classroom.
Right. And then someone hurts himself on it.
Yeah.
See, that's more likely to be boar because boar, as some of the Achronim emphasize, is an object that does its damage passively. Somebody hurts himself against the boar, inside the boar. So that case may be more likely to do that.
But how is that case then different from cutting the brake lines?
Because the brake of the car is moving.
But I'm altering an object.
Right, but the car is going to hit someone. The car is moving.
Oh, it's not talking about hurting the driver. It's about
it could talk about either, but it's happening through the moving car.
So it's not, we're removing the passive.
Yeah, which maybe some of the Achronim understand specifically might be a part of the definition of Bor. And that's actually relevant to our next topic then. So let's, you didn't see so many of the Marmakomas, so let's just spend a minute or two setting it up. And then I guess next time, so we have Parsha tomorrow, but next time we will work on our virus, and then we'll move into the Hezek Rishos, more directly Hanukkah-related things. But so let's just ask, so by words of introduction, so somebody who creates and distributes a computer virus, let's not make any bones about it, is evil. Hard to understand what goes through the minds of people who do things like that. But we still have to figure out in what category is their liability going to be found. So that's something we'll talk about after you've seen some more of the sources. But just to get some initial thoughts, What do you think? What do you think are some of the pluses and minuses about the liability of a computer virus? Sam?
They are thinking that maybe it's, we really have no idea, but this is like a bit of a stretch. Maybe it's ish, because in a sense, you send a computer, or at least one form, I guess, of computer virus is sent to someone, and then someone sends it to another one, and to another person. It's kind of like a koach acher, in a sense. Not really sure, but.
Yeah, no, that's not a far-off suggestion at all. We'll see that that's actually one of the major suggestions. Then there are some details we'll have to figure out, which may affect things. Any other possibilities, pluses or minuses? What do you see as possibly being relevant here?
It depends on the kind of virus. Maybe it's boring if you're altering a file.
Okay. I mean, if you alter a file as opposed to the computer itself?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have to see, and that's going to run up against that issue that we just mentioned, that maybe Bohr is specifically a passive mazik. Zed?
Maybe not Bohr.
Okay. So that's a good guess. It may also be not Bohr.
You say yeah. Karen?
Say Karen.
Or some kind of shore, like it's Kavanah Sulahazik. It's got like a...
Well, it's definitely got the Kavanah Sulahazik component.
It's an animal too.
Right, so that's where you have to figure out where the first part of the sentence works. Okay, any other thoughts, any other challenges, or like any issues that we're going to have to get past in order for there to be a chiyuv? So maybe grammar, yeah?
It's not like actual.
Okay, that's also something that's definitely going to be important to figure out.
I don't think God has a chance because it's pretty noticed.
Right, it's very nicker. It's coming from the other direction. It's like the hezek is nicker, but the mazik is invisible. And the item is also intangible. Right, so you think that should be the... But you can also assess the value in other ways, but still, but you can do that also with the Hezek Shen and Nicker. So we have to see how that fits in.
Does it matter what kind of virus it is? There's different kinds of viruses that do different things. So would...
I mean, if it just makes you write embarrassing emails to people, so it's just boisious?
Right.
Well, so which ones are... What are you focusing on?
There are some that either break the entire computer, or some that just they just more of a distraction and you just have to reset or
what about that? So if it's a distraction or if it breaks your computer and you can't work, you lose wages.
Denial of service.
Sorry?
It's a denial of service attack.
So if you can't function professionally, is there a sheves obligation there? Sam?
What if you have valuable items on your computer, how would you evaluate those items just on your computer?
And those items by definition are going to be intangibles.
Yeah, but they're still kind of, I guess more like the sentimental value
maybe
discussion, because they're still kind of worth something, like so you have like a book you're working on or whatever it might be. Yeah.
We'll have to combine this with our Banksy discussion. I said we're the sentimental value discussion, like you said, and we said one possible measure is to say, well, how much would you pay to not lose this item? And then we said the response could be, well, why don't you digitize it? And I'll say, I did, but then you put a virus in my computer, so you wiped that out also. So you can combine all the cases. So, all right, so God willing, next time we'll see how contemporaries farm. Shockingly, you don't find this issue discussed in the Rishonim at all. Bechlal, they don't talk about it. They don't talk about it in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't talk about it in the Kalim. The early Achronim don't talk about it. It's Bechlal, like the whole concept wasn't even invented until recently. It's strange. But there are contemporary Sfarim that do talk about it at great length. And that's part of the beauty of Bava Kamma. And God willing, we will see that next time. So who's davening for us? Jed, you got up first. So.
There.